an heart attack, but he was able to drive at least to certain length, and he just passed out. And they took him to the hospital, they put him there, they written him out. The doctor tried their best, nothing they could do. And the doctor has pronounced that body should be taken away. But as the doctor came out from the room, something told him, go back to that room and lay your hands and pray to that body. He said, he looked at himself that when he goes back to that room, every other medical personnel, they will be looking at him, but why did you come here? We have certified this person as dead. Why are you coming back? He said, that thing kept on telling him, go back to that room and pray for that man and ask them to resuscitate him. He went back. He said he laid his hands upon the man. He prayed and he called one of the nurses to do that. And the nurse kept on looking. Doctor, do you think you are in your senses? Somebody that you have, he said, please, can you just do it one time? Immediately they did that, the life came back. That is our God. Even they have found that dead body hopeless, that no, life cannot come back. But God, our God, that is mightier than the voice of many waters, is the one that can bring it forth, and he did that. And there's another one. This was like Africa, like in Nigeria. The same thing, the same kind of similar incident happened to the man. They told his wife, don't worry about this man has gone. But his wife said something kept on telling her, just continue to trust me. Continue to put your hope the way Abraham did here. Put your hope and trust in me. I am going to bring back life to this man. And he did. I think I deleted it from my phone. So you see, our God is in us. We are believers. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is in us. And that is our hope of glory. That Christ that is in us, God is in us. Because Christ is God. When we go to the book of John, chapter 1, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ came in the form of man. And that is God himself. That is why we have the Trinity. So when we have Christ in us, we have to understand this, that Christ in us is our hope. And the hope is not something we are expecting in the future. It starts from now. The riches that we have as children of God is start from now. Not that, oh, my riches, my peace is in heaven. It's in heaven. We will continue enjoying that tremendous peace, that tremendous riches and blessing. When we get to heaven, but it starts from here. So we have to understand that Christ is always in us, no matter what circumstances. The way Abraham stood on the word of God, that is John 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. No, I'm just trying to explain it to us that Christ also is God. And he gave us that son to come and live in the form of man. So now, another meaning of hope, according to the Bible, is the thing hoped for. We are hoping for mighty, glorious things in our God, in Christ that is in us. Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That hope, we have it in heaven. But I told us we are starting it from here. 1 Corinthians 9:10. New King James Version, please. Or does he say it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. That is, he's telling us we should continue to hope and believe what God says to us. You see, God, our God is awesome. You know, when we came back from youth retreat on Sunday, somebody was saying, oh, the service was so powerful and all that. That we talk about, you know, standing, believing the word of God. We have the same topic in our youth retreat, taking God by his word. We have to take him by his word, my brothers and my sister. There is nothing else that we have. because there are a lot of things going on out of in the world. There is a lot of sentences and things that people will say to us. But if we are not grounded and rooted in the word of God, my brothers and my sisters, you will just see that the world will just, it's like they are taking us in a boat. If we are not grounded and rooted in the word of God, they will say things to us right away with joy, with smile. We should just take our stand. Oh no, that is not what God says about me. You know that song? We know who God says we are. And we are not boasting in ourselves, we are boasting in Christ, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. So what does glory mean? What is glory? Glory is beauty, is power or honor. You know, we behold the beauty of God. When you see, you know, like when you go outside and you see where you are near where there is water, you will just be viewing the water and you see the beauty of God. In that water, the ocean, everything just go. Even when we go outside now, in this season, you will see some flowers blossom. You will just love it. That is the beauty of God. You see, all of us, we are filled with the beauty of God because we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of Christ. So we have to understand that Christ is in us, and that is the hope that we have. That is the belief that we have. That is the trust that we have. And we should keep on holding to that trust. Because the Bible says we should not lean onto our own understanding, but we should trust in the Lord with the whole of our heart. And never, never lean on your own understanding. Because he said, in all our ways, we should always acknowledge that Christ is the one that gave us life. Christ is the one that made us sleep every night, and he wakes us up every morning. That is Christ in our lives. And we have Christ, we have God, the Father, the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. So glory also, we can define glory as a quality of God's character that emphasizes his greatness and authority. That is the glory. That a quality of God's character in our lives, because we are his. And the Bible says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. We did not come to this world by our own self. You know, whenever the devil is bringing all sort of unnecessary negative things to my mind, God has given me those words. I will be telling, I told him, I said, you know what? You are a creature like me. Therefore, when you are a creature like me, you cannot be telling me this, because you too, you are going through this. We are in the same nature. We are in the same human nature. So you can't press me down, because that is not the will of God for my life, because the Bible says, I am now a new creature in Christ. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, when we have this understanding that Christ is in us, and the one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world, we'll be able to take our stand and face whatever it is that we are facing victoriously. Because the Bible says in this world we are going to have tribulation, but we should take heart because he has overcome for us. And it's only him. In him we have the majority. So examples of Christ in us, the hope of glory in the Old Testament. The pillar of cloud and of fire. Exodus 13, 21. That shows the glory of God. That is the glory of God is his presence. And we need his presence in our life 24 hours, 7 days. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Not in our own strength. We are not the one that is able to walk and go to work and come back and have that strength to start doing what we have to do. It's only God that is giving us the strength. He's the one that is supplying that strength to our body every minute, every second. Exodus 13, 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. You see, our God, he made provision for the Israelites. And he gave them a pillar of cloud by day that will guide them, that they are looking and know that, oh, this is the presence, this is the glory of God that is following us, that is with us. And by night, a pillar of fire that will make, because nighttime is dark, and it always make that provision for them to take care of them so that nothing evil will befall them. Same way he has made provision for us today, because this is the era of the New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. He always make provision for us. As we go back and forth, he's the one that is taking care of us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will guide you in your going out and in your coming in. That is the presence of God. And David recognized the presence of God in his life. That's why he said in the book of Psalm 23, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. The Lord is with us. Anywhere we are, let us understand this, that Christ is in us and is our hope of glory. The Lord, another example from the whole Testament, the Lord's deliverance of the Israelites at the Red Sea, Exodus chapter 14. We will not read the whole verse, but we'll pick some verses there. Exodus 14. We'll start reading from verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and come before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Ziphon. You shall come before it by the sea. Let me quickly see where we'll just pick some verses so that we won't just be reading all the verses. Sorry. Let me just continue reading. I will be skipping whichever one. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Because they are still pursuing them. So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. You see how people would just, their heart will just be seared. Also, he took 600 choice of chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Ziphon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. There are situations in our life that we may get to this level. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? They were now blaming Moses. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? Say, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would. 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Whoever is going through any situation, this is the word of the Lord for you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Not tomorrow, now. For the Egyptians, which you see today, you will see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. He's telling all of us, he will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. That is our God. He's always bold and wants us to be bold as his children. He doesn't want us to fidget or to be fearful. He wants us to be bold. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And indeed we hardened the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, so I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. So whatever it is that is coming face to face with you and telling you that, oh, you think you will go out of this, take your stand and say the one that is living in you is greater than the one that is living in whatever negative thing that is against the plan and the will of God. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. You see, our God is a great and mighty God. We cannot compare our God with any God. He's our God indeed, and he will continue to remain our God. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. You see how God, even though they are so fearful, but Moses too, because they questioned him. He's still human too. And it gave, thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. You see how God provided a means that he kept them from the Egyptians that ran after them. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea as God instructed him. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Who can do that? Only our God, that can make a way, a dry ground, in a sea, in an ocean. All of us, we have traveled over the year. You see, when you look out at your window in the plane, you will see something that you can't even see because the ocean is down. It's only our God that can make a way, that make a way where there seems to be no way. And he asked Moses, stretch forth your rod, and that dry land just came forth, and the Israelite went. That is only our God. So that God that they believe in that day is that Christ that is in us. Because Christ came in the form of man. He's God. He came in the form of man. So that same God that did that mighty thing in the days of Moses is the same God today. He's the same God forever. He's the same God that we have surrendered our life unto. He's the same God that done that wonders. Is also doing that wonders today, and he will continue to do the wonders in our lives. Can we go further? How many verses remaining? We are enjoying it. Thank you. I'm enjoying it too. 23 now. How many more? So 31. Let's quickly read it. God is blessing us. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and it troubled the army of the Egyptians. Because they think they can run after them, because they have enslaved them for so many years. And they think they can still do. But God rose up for the Israelites, and he fought for them. And he took off their chariots' wheels, so they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us
We can end it there. Praise the Lord.
So you see, we have to understand that Christ is in us 24 hours, 7 days. Either you are sleeping at night, you are having that unnecessary nightmare, you wake up and say it out. No evil shall befall me, because that is the word of God over my life. No evil shall befall me, neither will any plague come near me. So you, this negative nightmare, I speak against you by the power that is in the name of Jesus, because Christ is in me. So you cannot come and be playing stuff with me because you want to put fear or whatever. Therefore, nothing that you put against me shall stand, because Christ is in me. And Christ that is in me is my hope. Is my hope of glory. His presence that is with me will not allow all these things to happen. So I'm just using that as a scenario. So we have to understand that Christ is in us anywhere we are, anywhere we go, because by his grace we have been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So another example in the New Testament, the glory of God has been shown in Christ. Luke 9:29-32. The glory of God has been shown in Christ. In Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. John 9:29-32. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke to his decease which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. You see, God is asking them to watch, but they are sleeping. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. That is the glory of God. When people see the glory of God in our lives, his presence, his hand, they will not be able to do anything to us. Even if they are fashioning it, it will not stand, because Christ is in us. And he will never allow anything that is fashioned against us to prosper in any way. So we have to understand that. So no matter what battles or whatsoever we are going through, either our places of work, anywhere, we should know that the glory, which is the presence of God, is always with us. John 2:11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You see how Christ is manifesting his glory, and people around, they saw it and they witnessed to it. The same thing, when people around us, they see Christ in us, they will witness. Even they will come and say, oh, this God that you are serving, that is doing these wonders in your life, I want to serve the same God. That is how we are witnessing for Christ, because his presence, his glory is in our lives. So what do we mean by Christ in us? Christ in us, as a fallen creature, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are falling short of God's perfect character and nature. That is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, but thanks be to God who gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is John 3:16. So to accomplish, you know, God made that avenue because we have our communion with God in the book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, there's an alteration in that communion, in our relationship with God. But now, for God to accomplish the desire, because God always wants to have a fellowship, a mutual emotional fellowship with us as his children. A fellowship that we can be able to talk to him, he will talk to us, he will lead and direct us. So now for God to accomplish this desire to dwell with us, because he always wants to dwell with us. So God took some tremendous step. Number one, God himself, as I've explained to us, God himself became man in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is John 1, 1 to 5 that we read already. Number two, Jesus lived in genuine human life on this earth, yet without sin. Even though he came to live like us, but yet without sin. Number three, in his living, his actions, and his speaking, he fully expressed God in everything he does. He said, I have come to do the will of the Father. And he did the will of the Father. Every sinner, people, you see the woman at the well, people were running after her, they ran after her, and he got to where Jesus was by the well. Everybody was saying, oh, you did this, you did that, you did this. He just looked up. If any of you have not committed sin, continue to take a stone. Everybody left. Because that is what God has come to do. He has come sinner. He has come to call sinners to repentance. He wants to live and dwell in us. It is not the plan and the purpose of God that there should be a partition between us and himself. He has come to bridge the gap. Those are the steps. He brought Jesus Christ to live like us and without sin. And he wants to bring us back to himself. So Jesus Christ lived and experienced everything of human life. He died on the cross because of my sin, because of your sins. Through his redemptive death, we can be forgiven of our sins and brought back to God. So he now sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to come and bridge the gap. Because in those days, they used animals to go and make sacrifice. But Christ came, he sacrificed his own life, and he shed his blood. So that we can have, there will not be any breach between us and God any longer. So now that we have been redeemed, our hope then is not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. Like that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. We will sing the song later, maybe in conclusion. So, in ourselves and our strength, we will continue to fall short of God's glory, according to Romans 3:23. In our own self, because every time we want to do the right thing, we wake up in the morning, God, what I did yesterday, no, I want to do this. That is why we have to recognize ourselves that he has given us the righteousness. It is not by our own strength. That's why the Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. But by the strength of God, we can prevail. That is why in everything we do, by the grace of God, I will do this. Not in my own strength, but in the strength of God. Because God is the one that is supplying the strength through Christ Jesus into our mortal body. So we are now a new person in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We won't go there. We can now break free from the bondage of sin and failure because we know that the righteousness of Christ has been given to us. We have been teaching, thank God, Pastor Emmanuel has been teaching us about that, the righteousness of Christ. We have to recognize that. We have to understand that. Salvation, what does salvation bring for us then? Through this Christ in us, through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ went to do at Calvary. Reconciliation back to God. We are reconciled back to God. We can be able to go and talk to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. That's why we pray in the name of the Son to the Father. The presence of God, salvation also brings the presence of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us. Another thing is Christ in us means the presence of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the third thing that salvation brings for us is manifestation of the glory of God start in our lives as believers before we get to heaven. That's what I said earlier. Before we get to heaven, we start enjoying all the riches that Lord has ordained for us here in this world. And then we will now continue to enjoy the tremendous presence and the glory of God when we get to heaven. So biblical examples of people in the Bible that trusted and hoped in the Lord. the life of Moses. We read it. This combines, that is, the life of Moses combines God's presence, Moses' inadequacy, and the glory of God. Can we quickly read that Exodus 33, 12 to 14? That's not what we read earlier. We read about how they were brought out from Egypt. But now this one was when Moses, Exodus 33, 12 to 14. Thank you. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." Because Moses was looking at himself. How can I do this? So he's asking God, "You have not given me somebody that will go with me." Because he's looking at himself in the human understanding. "I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." That is Moses. And he said, you see how God answered him, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." God is telling us the same thing, including me, this night. The presence of God will go with us anywhere we go, and he will give us rest. Anywhere we are, he will give us rest. His presence is always with us 24 hours, 7 days. So we should not be fearful, because he has not given us unto us the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So in this passage, Moses asked to lead the entire nation of Israel through the wilderness, and all the while they have mourning, they are grumbling with the group, including the enemies in the surrounding nations that want to destroy them. Moses asked the Lord, how it is going to happen? How will it happen? Who is going to help? The Lord's response is what he just told him in that verse 14. "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So this is really a great assurance and confidence to the one who walks by faith, because our faith is very, very important in understanding that Christ is in us. Because without faith, the Bible says we cannot please God. So our faith is very, very important in knowing and understanding that Christ is in us and is our hope. So we too can have rest because the Lord's presence is with us. Rest in the midst of difficulty is the great sign of the Lord's presence. No matter what is happening, we should just have that rest of mind that I am not alone. He's with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Matthew 28:20. Hebrews 13:5. Matthew 28:20. Hebrews 13:5. Deuteronomy 31:8. God is telling us that his presence is with us. Joshua 1:5. You can write it down. Psalm 91 verse 1 to 15. But can we read Matthew 28:20. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Amen. That is amen. That is it. So he said he will be with us. His presence shall go with us anywhere we are. So we have to understand that the presence of God is upon our life, that Christ in us is that presence of God in our lives. Hebrews 13:5. Let's just read one more and then we'll go to the next point. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So it's two things there. He said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Looking at somebody else. Just let us be content with God and with what God has given unto us. And he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So another example of those who trusted in the Lord in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are the three Hebrew men. Daniel 3, 1 to 30. We will not read it. We can write it down. These three, they all hope and trusted in the Lord. They believe that the God that was with them is greater than the fiery furnace, than the fire where they put them. And they told the king, they told King Nebuchadnezzar, if you put us here, our God that is with us, that never leaves us, is able to keep us in this fire. And God kept them. That is our God. He's the one that can keep us. He said when we are passing through fire, the fire will not kindle us. That is Isaiah 43. He said when we are passing through water or ocean, they won't take us. We will not overflow with it because he's with us. Because his presence, his glory is with us. So when the king made an image of gold and commanded that everyone must fall down and worship his image, they refused because they know in whom they have believed. They have believed in the living God who is able to keep them, and indeed kept them. And the fire, nothing out of the fire touched them. That is our God. So we have to understand and know that our God is the one that can keep us in every situation whatsoever, and nothing evil shall befall us. Another example is David. David knew that the Lord was with him. 1 Samuel 17:37. Psalm 71 verse 5 and Psalm 62 verse 5. We can read those three, please. So David knew the Lord. 1 Samuel 17:7. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron shepherd weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. No, 37. I was looking at it. It's 17:37, not 7. 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord, you see that David hoped and trusted and believed that God was with him. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, while taking care of his father's flocks, and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me. Can you go further, please? He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Because David saw that Saul saw that David was very bold because he trusted in the Lord. Not in his own strength, not in any harm. You know, when people go to war, they will dress up and put on everything, their hat, their shield, and everything. But David knew that the Lord is the one that is those instruments. That God, the instrument is God has imputed in him, and he trusted God. He did not trust in himself, but he trusted in the Lord. And the Lord gave him victory over the Philistine, that is over Goliath. So we have to trust in the Lord. No matter what, no matter what we are going through, no matter what is happening around us, we should trust in the Lord. We should trust in the Lord with the whole of our heart, and don't trust in yourself. Let me give you an instance. You know, on Sunday night when we came back from youth retreat, you know, it was very hot. So we put on the AC. So in the middle of the night, my husband said the AC was making such a very unnecessary noise and smelling. So he quickly turned it off. So we didn't use AC since Sunday. So I said, God, thank God the weather is going up and down, going up and down. So I called, I said, I thought somebody would be able to come and check it out. So today they came to check it out. And I was getting myself, I was preparing for all this. And the guy came and he went there. I told him all what happened since Sunday. So he went there, he came back, he went downstairs, he said the switch was off, he turned the switch on, and he came back. He was there for a couple of, you know, like maybe like 20 minutes, and he came back. He said, I have a bad news for you. I said, I don't take bad news, but what is it that you had? You want to tell me? So he told me, he said, the unit at the back is dead. Nothing can be done, and we have to get another one. So he now went, he explained everything. I said, come.
Let me give you big paper. Explain this to me. I don't understand all this terminology you are using for me. So,
but that thing is just telling me, you know, just be at peace. No matter what, the Lord is able to take care of it. So he took, he gave me, received. He told me that, he explained something, coil, and that the coil, that how many years I've been, you know, being in the house, that the coil, that maybe we have to change the coil, but that the unit from the AC outside, not good anymore. Nothing, we can't use it, that we have to get another one. So I said, okay, how much is it? So he brought the receipt, 3,000, almost 3,500. I said, okay. I said, so how much is the unit, the coil that you are talking about? He said, maybe that one too, maybe like 30-something, 35, almost 34-something. I said, okay. I said, you know what? I will take it one day at a time. Oh, basically, unit messed up. So I'm just talking to us that, you know, in the midst of whatever it is that is happening, let us recognize that Christ is in us and is the one that can calm us down. I didn't even let it bother me. Because my kids came, oh, mommy, they came. I said, can you, I will talk to you about it later. I want to focus on what I have to do this evening. So you see, in the midst of whatever it is, let us take our stand that Christ is in us and is the only one that can give us that peace and is the one that is able to take care of whatever it is. Whatever it is able to take care of it. So David trusted. David believed and hold on to the Lord. He wasn't looking at Goliath, that Goliath is so tall, taller than him. But he believed, he hoped in the God that he served, that the God that is able to deliver him when he took care of his father's flocks is able to give the Philistines to him. So what is that Philistines in our lives? What is that thing that is rising up like a lion? The Bible says, our God is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Even though the devil will roar like a lion, but it's not the lion. He's just roaring like a lion. But he's not the lion. But our God is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And is the one that we are serving. So whatever situation that is going on, is it in our home? Is it in our family? Is it in our place of job? We should just take our stand, not in our own strength, and say, God, I trusted in you. And I know my trust in you is not in vain. This, I commit to you. And I know you are able to take care of it. And he's able to take care of it. And he will take care of it. Praise the Lord. So another example is the Apostle Paul. In our text. Our text is Colossians 1, 24 to 29. I know some of us came after. So our text is Colossians 1, 24 to 29. And our topic is understanding Christ in us, the hope of glory. So in this Colossians 1, 24 to 29, we read it. A real life, this was a real life example of the indwelling of Christ in Paul. Even though he was in prison, but his hope is in the Lord. He wasn't even thinking, I'm in prison for you. He stood his ground for anything for the sake of Christ because he knew that Christ was in him. So the book of Colossians was written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. This is why Paul is a living, working example of what he is declaring to the Colossians and us today, brethren, that Christ in us is our hope of glory. So Paul had learned through countless difficulties that Jesus was all he needed and that Christ's strength was made perfect in his own weakness. Also, we should have that in our mind, that God's strength will always be perfect in our own weakness. So the word of God in all his fullness revealed to us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That is why we have to make sure that we spend time to study the word of God. That is where God can talk to us. That is where we can take refuge. That is where we can know what is this that God has for us in this situation. How does he want us to handle it? So the glory of God, this is the presence of Christ in us when we surrender all to the lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are now his witnesses anywhere we are or go. which categorically means our witness depends on the presence of Christ and the confident expectancy we have in Him every day. That is what I mentioned to others. Hope is a confident expectancy. You are confident. Nothing is shaking you. No matter what news you are hearing, it doesn't bother us, because our confident expectancy is in Christ. So Moses' reluctance to move unless the Lord is with him, this is not stubbornness, but reality. Moses exhibited his real self in that story that we read, knowing fully well that he is not up to the task at hand by his own strength. So this is Moses showing his utter dependency upon the Lord. And the Lord's prayer says, I will do the very thing you ask because I am pleased with you. That is the Lord's response to him. God wants us to take him into account in everything we do. Everything. He wants us to take him to account. He wants us to believe and hope that whatever situation it is, he's able to take us out of it. It may look hopeless. It may look so sad. It may look so overwhelming that we don't feel happy, that we are always down. But God is the one that brings joy in the morning. He's the one that brings forth victory in that whatever situation that it is. So, indeed, God showed his glory in front of Moses in Exodus 34, 6 to 7. Do you want to shine? Keep your eyes upon Christ. If you want to shine, keep your eyes upon Christ. Don't keep your eyes upon yourself. Don't keep your eyes upon that individual. Even if you are looking at that individual, look upon him, that Christ is able to turn it around. That Christ is able to change this person. That Christ is able to penetrate into this heart. We cannot save life. We can only witness Christ. God is the one that converts souls. God is the one that brings about turnaround in a situation to his glory. So the glory must be seen in our lives, my brothers and my sisters. So we must be a witness for Christ and the hope of his glory in this world. Not when we get to heaven, from right here. So brothers and sisters, you are the only hope that God has, because he has deposited a lot on the inside of you and I. He has deposited a lot, and he wants us to carry out what he has deposited in us. So the glory, so wherever you are, God has placed you there, you and I, there to shine, because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The glory is not only for heaven, as I said, it starts from now till eternity. If you let God use you where you are, you will shine. So brethren, our lives should affect the people we get in contact with every day. In our homes, place of work, at the store, and anywhere we go. Take inventory. Let's take inventory of our life and ask ourselves, is my life a channel of blessing? Is the love and the fruit of the Spirit flowing through me? Consistently, live a crucified life, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. If people around us see that we are consistently living a life showing forth Christ in all that we do, this will bring many souls to Christ that is living in us. So arise and shine, for the life of our light has come. So the glory of the Lord is risen. So what do you have in your mind? What do you have on your mind? Do you think about yourself only? Think about others too and pray for them. Spend time alone with God and rely on him 24 hours, 7 days. Let Christ be seen in your behavior, including me. Doing what he says in his word, Colossians 3, 1 to 25. In conclusion, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do or say or think. Even though we are good at making it, but it's not about us. It's about him. It's about Christ that is in us. So he's living, he's willing to display his energy, his life, His glory, His character, the fruit of the Spirit through our lives as well. So let the cry of our heart every day, Lord, show us your glory. Show us your presence. And that presence, He will continually show it in our lives. So we are going to sing that song. My hope is built on nothing less. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.